Good afternoon. We're glad you could join us for HP Inc.'s 2017 Annual Meeting of Stockholders. The meeting is now called to order. I'm Chip Bergh, Lead Independent Director of HP. I'm joined by Dion Weisler, HP's CEO, President, and Director, Kim Rivera, HP's Chief Legal Officer, General Counsel, and Corporate Secretary, and Steve Fieler, HP's Head of Treasury. It has been a historic year for the company with a great deal of progress across all aspects of the business, from assembling the most diverse board in the tech industry to introducing some of our most amazing PC and print products ever. We have much to be proud of at HP. We are looking forward to walking you through some of the details of our progress. Today's virtual meeting is a live audio webcast. We believe in engaging our stockholders and maximizing their ability to meaningfully engage with us. Virtual meetings are one of the ways we are doing this. Today's session allows our stockholders to participate in the meeting regardless of their location. Not only can you view the meeting, you can also submit questions and vote your shares online before the polls close. Our director nominees, HP executive officers, and representatives from our registered public accounting firm, Ernst & Young, are attending today's meeting through the webcast. They will be able to assist with questions during the Q&A portion of the meeting. We've received several questions that were submitted before today's meeting in our online pre-meeting stockholder forum, and we welcome your additional questions. Thank you again for joining us, and let me now turn the meeting over to Kim.
Thank you, Chip. We are conducting the meeting in accordance with HP's bylaws and meeting rules. In order to ensure that the business of the meeting proceeds in an orderly fashion, we ask that you please observe the meeting rules. These rules are available on the meeting website. We've allocated time for Q&A in today's agenda. The Q&A session will be held later in the meeting before the official closing of the polls. As a reminder, you may submit questions at any time before the end of the Q&A session. Any unanswered questions will be answered after the meeting, with responses available on our investor relations website, accessible via hp.com/investor/home. Some of our comments and responses to your questions during the meeting today may include forward-looking statements that are based on certain assumptions and are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties. The risks, uncertainties, and assumptions that could affect these forward-looking statements include risks that are described in HP's SEC reports, including our Form 10-Q for the first quarter of fiscal 2017. I'd also like to point out that the information presented at this meeting may include references to amounts that are expressed on a non-GAAP basis. A reconciliation of such non-GAAP amounts to GAAP and other information related to these non-GAAP measures is available on our investor relations website, accessible again via hp.com/investor/home. HP's agents have certified that notice of the meeting was provided starting on March 6, 2017, to all stockholders of record as of the record date for the meeting, and copies of those certifications are in my possession. I therefore declare that legal notice of the meeting has been duly given. The board of directors has appointed Jan Castillo from our proxy solicitor to serve as our inspector of election for this meeting. She is present at the meeting today. As required by law, Jan has taken and signed an oath as inspector of election. This document will be filed with the minutes of this meeting. As inspector of election, Jan has informed me that the majority of the outstanding shares held of record as of close of business on February 16, 2017, the record date for this meeting, are represented at this meeting. I declare that there is a quorum present and that we may proceed with the business of the meeting. Please remember that you may vote your shares online anytime during this meeting before the closing of the polls. There are four items of business on today's agenda. In accordance with HP's bylaws, these are the only proposals to be voted upon at this meeting. The first item of business is a vote on a slate of 12 nominees to the board of directors. The 12 people who have been nominated to serve as the board of directors and who will be voted upon today are Aida Alvarez, Shumeet Banerjee, Carl Bass, Robert Bennett, Charles Bergh, Stacy Brown Philpot, Stephanie Burns, Marianne Citrino, Stacey Mobley, Subra Suresh, Dion Weisler, and Margaret Whitman. Their biographies and detailed information about their experience are included in the proxy statement if you'd like to review it. The second item of business is the ratification of the appointment of Ernst & Young LLP as HP's independent registered public accounting firm for fiscal 2017. At this time, I'd like to acknowledge Mark Borsos and Kirk Parrish, representatives of Ernst & Young, who are attending today's meeting in person and online, respectively. Ernst & Young was responsible for the audit of HP's 2016 fiscal year financial statements. The third and fourth items of business are both advisory votes. Item 3 is an advisory vote on HP's executive compensation. Item 4 is an advisory vote on the frequency of future advisory votes on HP's executive compensation. Descriptions of these items of business are contained in your proxy statement, so I won't review them in detail here. I have now described the four items of business that you've been asked to vote on. We will now proceed to the voting on the agenda items that I described. The polls have been open for voting on each of the items of business since the beginning of this meeting at 2 p.m. Pacific time and will remain open until I announce their closure later in the meeting. If you have previously voted by proxy and do not wish to change your vote will be cast as you previously instructed and no further action is needed. If you are a record holder and wish to change your vote, did not send in a proxy and wish to cast your vote now, or have not already cast your vote using our electronic voting system, you may cast your vote by electronic ballot at hp.onlineshareholdermeeting.com now or any time until the conclusion of this meeting. You will notice a link to the voting site on your screen. Access to hp.onlineshareholdermeeting.com requires the control number you received before this meeting. If you do not indicate the number of shares you intend to vote on your electronic ballot, your electronic ballot will automatically represent all shares that you are entitled to vote at this meeting. As you navigate to the electronic ballot site and are making your decisions, Dion is going to discuss where HP's business stands today and what we've accomplished since our last annual meeting. And now, over to you, Dion.
Thank you, Kim. It's an incredible time at HP. Since our first annual meeting as HP Inc. a year ago, a lot has happened in the global economy, in our industry, and certainly in the printing and personal systems businesses. Almost 18 months ago, we successfully completed one of the largest and most complex corporate separations in history, becoming an independent, publicly traded Fortune 100 corporation and setting out on a journey to reinvent everything we do. Separation enabled us to move faster, be nimbler, and to be completely focused on reinventing for our stockholders, our customers, our partners, our employees, and the communities where we operate. While our first five quarters haven't always been easy, we're now firing on all cylinders with discipline, focus, innovation, and execution. We are delivering on our financial commitments, while at the same time increasing investment in research and development. We're reinventing our personal systems and printing portfolios while delivering amazing design and innovations. We're taking profitable share and growing faster than the market and all of our competitors. And we recently introduced the first commercial-ready 3D printing system to help disrupt a $12 trillion manufacturing industry. And that's not all. We have the strongest and most innovative portfolio in our history. We're delivering on our core business and gaining momentum in growth and future segments of our strategy. Most importantly, we're earning the trust of our shareholders and accelerating our business. In an ever-changing world and industry, we are in a position of strength. Despite volatile macroeconomic conditions and the continuing challenge of the markets, we outperformed our competitors and the market as a whole, proving we can operate and execute in both up and down markets. We made a commitment to you that we would provide reliable returns and predictable cash flow, while also bringing a strong foundation for future growth. I'm proud to report that we delivered on our financial promises while solidifying our leadership in the global personal systems, printing, and 3D printing categories. In fiscal 2016, we returned $2 billion, or 72% of our free cash flow, to stockholders through dividends and share repurchases. And in quarter one of fiscal 2017, we delivered non-GAAP diluted earnings per share of 38 cents, at the high end of our outlook range. We exceeded free cash flow expectations, delivering more than $700 million and returning more than $600 million to stockholders through share repurchases and dividends. We also grew net revenue by 4% year over year to $12.7 billion, with double-digit growth in personal systems. We will continue to be disciplined with capital allocation. In this business, our capital expenditure requirements are modest, and we will determine all of our investments against a returns-based framework. Our long-term strategy is clear and consistent. We operate in large markets with two core franchises, printing and personal systems. For both, we continue to execute based on three pillars. Firstly, in our core, where we aggressively protect, defend, and innovate. We must be excellent here, as this is the vast amount of our revenue and profit. While there are difficulties and challenges in the market, this is an environment where we know how to win, gain share, and out-execute our competitors. Secondly, is the area of growth, where we leverage our strengths to expand in new markets and capture natural adjacencies. And third is the future, where we create amazing new products and services in markets that we can lead and transform. This is pure invention and category creation. Underlying all three strategic pillars is the foundation of services and solutions. In competitive markets, innovation and differentiation are key ingredients for success. While we're delivering great business success through amazing innovation, it's important to realize it's not just what you do, but how you do it. Sustainability and diversity continue to serve as guiding principles for the way we operate. We are creating a brighter future through actions and strategic programs that make life better for everyone, everywhere. Sustainability is not only the right thing to do, but it positively impacts the top and bottom lines. Customers want to buy from companies they can be proud of, and HP aims to strengthen our communities and enable the sustainable development of society. As a long-time corporate climate leader, we recently pledged to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from our global operations by 25% by 2025 and achieve 100% renewable electricity usage in global operations with an interim target of 40% by 2020. Similarly, diversity and inclusion are explicit goals and corporate values, starting at the highest levels of our company. Diversity helps us create sustainable business advantage both for today and tomorrow, as the next 1 billion eyeballs will not come from our current markets. Diversity shapes our entire way of thinking, innovating, and delivering value for our customers, partners, and stockholders. We created one of the most diverse boards in the tech sector, with diversity of thought, experience, race, ethnicity, gender, and perspective. The focus on diversity flows to my management team and throughout our entire company. Since separation, we've increased the number of female executives and are challenging our entire organization and our partners to diversify their workforces. Recently, Antonio Lucio, our Chief Marketing Officer, and Kim Rivera, our Chief Legal Officer, challenged our agency partners in the marketing, advertising, and legal fields to diversify their teams in order to better support our business. And this is just one example of how we're shaping our organization and our partner ecosystem to embrace diverse thinking. While we're making progress, we know we have much more to do. Now, with a deeper understanding of our strategy and the corporate values, let me discuss some of the business unit innovations and highlights. In printing, we launched and have shipped an entirely new line of A3 business printers. Not only that, but to strengthen and accelerate our competitive position and accelerate the disruption of a $55 billion copier market, we also announced the strategic acquisition of Samsung's printer business. This is the largest print acquisition in HP's history, and proof that the separation is enabling us to invest in our business. The acquisition is scheduled to close later this year, subject to regulatory approval and the customary closing conditions. We also continue to reinvent large format printing with our graphic solutions business, one of the fastest growing parts of our business. With our unrivaled innovations, we are accelerating the industry shift from analog to digital printing and unlocking new ways for brands to interact with customers through customized printing, packaging, and decoration. And we're reinvigorating the consumer printing category with new social and mobile devices like Sprocket and the DeskJet 3700 series, and with services like Instant Ink. Sprocket, the new pocket-sized printer geared towards millennials, is a breakaway hit. As network and device security intensified as a global concern, HP met the challenge by delivering the world's most secure printers and PCs. And as the industry shift accelerates towards contractual models, we're delivering strategic growth in managed print services. And we also introduced the world's most advanced production-ready 3D printers. The HP JetFusion 3D printing solution is shipping to customers today, and we're partnering with materials, technology, academic, and manufacturing leaders to accelerate this emerging industry. In personal systems, our product and services portfolio is the strongest it has been in decades, winning top awards and rave reviews for commercial and consumer devices alike. We're gaining profitable market share with incredible innovations and spectacularly designed multi-form factor devices, including the EliteBook X360, the X2 detachable laptop, the award-winning X3, and the Spectre 13, one of the world's thinnest laptops. Additionally, we're seeing growth in strategic areas, including commercial mobility and device as a service. This year, at the Consumer Electronics Show, we took home a record 23 awards, including the CES Innovation Award, and our innovation and design is helping us grow in strategic market segments like premium, where we're creating a bold new perception of the company, and in gaming, where our Omen platform is literally blowing the competition away. These are just a few examples of how strong our innovative portfolio is and how we're strategically segmenting market opportunities to grow our business and provide the opportunity for long-term growth for our investors. This is an amazing time to be at HP and to build on our leadership in this dynamic industry. Every facet of the world, our industry, and our customer and partner needs are changing. But to us, change equals opportunity. Opportunity to accelerate, to innovate, to change, and to go faster. Our goal is to leverage change, not just to get better and stronger together, but to be the best and the strongest. We have a clear strategy that leverages our strengths and innovations to protect our core, capture growth opportunities in natural adjacencies, and create the future with new categories in areas where we can lead and transform. On behalf of the entire management team, thank you for the opportunity to honour this venerable brand by re-energising HP's creative entrepreneurial spirit. I firmly believe that our best, brightest, most innovative and most rewarding years are ahead of us. Thank you very much. And now, back to you, Kim.
Thank you, Dion. Now we'll move to the Q&A portion of our agenda, which will be moderated by Steve Feiler. As a reminder, the polls will continue to be open during Q&A, and you may continue to vote your shares. You can also continue to submit your questions during Q&A. And now, over to Steve.
Thank you, Kim. We're going to start with some questions that we received in advance of today's meeting. So for the first one, I believe if the shareholders' dividends were to increase at a regular rate, we would have more investors in our company. Does the board of directors have any plans to increase dividends?
So I'll take that one, Steve. Thank you for the question. It's a question that we get quite frequently, as well as the question around share repurchases. Let me first say that dividends are an essential part of our capital allocation framework and an important way to create shareholder value, especially, of course, when they grow. Now, at the time of separation, our board discussed our framework for capital allocation and determined that we would return 50 to 75% of free cash flow to shareholders in the form of dividends and share repurchases. And as you recall, in FY16, we returned $2 billion or 72% of free cash flow to shareholders through dividends and share repurchases. And we expect to be at the higher end of the 50 to 75% range in FY17. Now, our dividend framework was also discussed at the time of separation. Back then, we said that we would expect dividends to grow in line with earnings. And for FY17, we increased dividends by 7%. Now, if you look at our ranges for FY17, the midpoint of our non-GAAP EPS range is roughly flat year over year. But given the progress that we've made in improving our businesses, we're confident that our cash flow is robust and sustainable. And as a result of that, we wanted to demonstrate that confidence through a quarterly dividend increase that exceeds the EPS growth that we have for FY17.
Great. Next question. How is the strong dollar affecting company sales?
This almost feels like an earnings call. We get this one quite frequently as well. Let me say that broadly speaking, the impact of currency on revenue has declined compared to prior years, as many of the large swings in the global currencies that we saw back in FY15 are behind us. And rates are relatively in line with where they were a year ago. In quarter one, for example, revenue grew 4% year over year as reported, or 5% in constant currency. So it still represents approximately a one-point headwind. However, given the recent election in the US and Brexit in the UK, currencies have been very volatile lately, and as a result of that, we utilise and continue to utilise foreign exchange hedges, given a significant portion of our business does not have a natural local currency expense exposures that offset the local currency revenue. We also managed to offset some of the currency impact through repricing, but we're limited by the competitive pricing environment and the demand impacts of higher prices based on currency movements alone. So we will continue to monitor the impact of the strengthening US dollar and the impact of Brexit on our businesses going forward and provide further commentary in the event that it begins to change our outlook.
Thanks, Dion. Next question is for you as well. Why does it take 12 board of directors for this company?
First, let me just extend some comments that you heard the call opened by Chip Berg. We're really excited to have Chip stepping into the role of lead independent director. We thank Raj Gupta for his service in that role and on our board. But with Raj's departure from the board, we've decided to reduce the size of the board to 12, as we think we've got the right mix of directors for where the company is today. We're continually evaluating the board. We want to make sure that we have directors who really understand the company, understand its strategy for the future, and can help advise us on how to achieve and exceed the goals that we're setting for ourselves. At separation, we looked at a variety of factors in determining the board, and I think the Nom and Gov Committee really did an outstanding job of assembling two incredible boards for both Hewlett-Packard Enterprise and HP Inc. And we looked at several things. First was tenure. We wanted to have the right mix of institutional knowledge. So coming onto our board at HP Inc. were some members or directors of the old HP Co. And then we infused that with a whole range of new directors that brought new ideas and experience to the team. The second thing that we were very determined to do was build perhaps one of the most diverse boards in corporate America. I would say certainly the most diverse board in the tech world, because as I mentioned in my opening remarks, the next 1 billion eyeballs will not come from where our traditional customers are today. We hope to retain those customers, but they come from new and faraway places, and having that diversity of thought is incredibly important and a differentiator for us for the future. And thirdly, we wanted to assemble a team that really had a very deep and rich background of understanding of our business, from former members and current executives, finance leaders. We wanted folks with really strong government backgrounds, disruptive technology experience, technology industry background, supply chain expertise, and I think we really assembled that with our board of directors. So our directors have spent the last year, almost a year and a half now, engaging very, very deeply with us, with our executive team, including a board buddy program that makes a direct linkage between each director and one of my direct reports. And that really helps all of us really understand exactly where HP is today and where we're going to be in the future. So I think we have the right mix of directors for HP Inc.'s vision for the future, and they're providing the governance, the oversight, and the guidance as we execute our journey.
Thanks, Dion. I think the next question's best directed to Kim. How will you ensure that the tools provided by HPQ will not be used for security overreach and do not allow for trapdoors, backdoors, and the like by government agencies and hackers? What security audits and measures are you taking?
Thanks, Steve. HP has a history of being at the forefront of security, privacy, and data protection issues. When customers share their information with HP, we respect their privacy, and we offer enhanced security features in our products and services to protect their information from unauthorized access. The advanced protection mechanisms are part of our broader strategy to provide the most comprehensive security in the industry across all HP products. Encryption of technology is a vital component in protecting the security of our customers' information, and HP does not support broad-reaching efforts to disable these features or provide so-called backdoors. That being said, it's HP's general practice to cooperate with duly authorized law enforcement requests. We carefully consider each request in the context of the specific facts and applicable law in making our decisions.
Thanks, Kim. Our next question concerns more recent events. Based on the President of the United States' new directive to strengthen the American economy, when will our company refocus its efforts to produce our products domestically instead of abroad?
Well, first, let me say that we really are a global company, and we operate in 170 countries around the world, and we believe in free trade. This is still an early time in the new administration, less than 100 days. But based on President Trump's publicly available platform, we do anticipate that there are two key policy areas as having an influence on our business. And those two are corporate tax reform and international trade. Let me say at the outset that we support comprehensive tax reform that makes the US more globally competitive and promotes investments in research and development. On trade, we'll be working to ensure that US multinationals have fair access to overseas markets and manufacturing that enables innovation and affordable pricing for our customers. Relative to domestic manufacturing, if such a policy is approved, we will do the appropriate economic analysis to determine a strategic response that drives the most shareholder value, and I think that's really important. Given the current discussions, the likely outcome of an import tax unmitigated would be increased prices industry-wide for end users, which could have a significant impact to demand. Shifting existing manufacturing to the US might make sense, but would take a significant amount of time considering the entire ecosystem of component suppliers is based overseas. We would also need to understand the specifics of the policy as it relates to made in the US versus assembled in the US. Keep in mind that a border-adjusted tax will be a cost headwind across our industries as there is minimal manufacturing of PCs and printers in the US today. The timing of a proposed bill from the House Ways and Means Committee is still uncertain. In the meantime, we've appointed a cross-functional team here internally who is closely monitoring the various potential proposals and planning appropriate actions that we will take when and if specific policies are approved.
Thanks, Dion. We have a few more questions that have come in live. The first one relates to innovation, and it's please give three examples of innovation since the 2016 annual meeting that have had at least a 10 million impact so far. I would note to the questioner, we don't disclose revenue at that level, but I think it's a good opportunity potentially for Dion to comment on some of the innovation that we're seeing at the company.
Look, I would say, as I mentioned in my opening remarks that innovation is alive and well, and we're cranking on all cylinders. And I would say that innovation is coming from many areas of the business, not just the product areas. Innovation can come from supply chain. Innovation can come from customer service and support. It can come through product. And it can also come through go-to-market that is changing quite significantly around us. And I think what the team is doing is stitching the seams between each of these pillars within the organization to deliver innovation across the board. I think we have the most exciting portfolio of products that we've had in decades in printing and personal systems, in the new areas of blended reality, of immersive computing and 3D printing. And so I think right across the organization, we're very focused on executing against our strategy of ensuring that as we take costs out of the business, they're in the non-revenue generating areas of the business so that we can continue to invest in R&D, continue to invest in systems, continue to invest in our people so that we can drive a sustainable innovations platform for decades to come. I think innovation is a core differentiator, and it's not something that ever stands still. It's a hold on us as leaders to continue to drive this innovation framework.
Thanks. So we have the last online forum question, and there's actually a couple that pertain to competition, outperforming the market and competition, and share in general. So I think I'd summarize the question. Maybe how do we think about share at the company, and who are we gaining share from?
Well, I would say we'd have to. It'd be quite a long discussion, but broadly speaking, if we look across the main portfolios of products within our core, in personal systems, the team's just doing an outstanding job. You would recall from my last remarks at the last earnings call, the personal systems team delivered what I call trifecta cubed. And if I were to explain what that is, the trifecta in business is if you can grow your top line, you can grow your bottom line, and you can grow faster than your competitors. The cubed element is when you do it three times in a row. And that's what we delivered at the Q1's earnings call. And there were some preliminary figures released by the relative agencies, IDC and Gartner. IDC's preliminary figures have us at the number one position now in personal systems, overtaking our competitor that's held that position for quite some time. You will also recall that I've said that I'm not terribly interested in share for share's sake. And so therefore, becoming number one is not the goal. Playing our game and delivering profitable share gains is what is vitally important. Now, if you happen to reach the number one position as an outcome of winning the right way, that's terrific. And I think the personal systems team is a great example of winning the right way. And as a reward of that, they've reached the number one position globally. And we've really started to see improvement in our printing business as well. And there's a much larger piece of segmentation to be done, but we are market leaders in the A4 printing business, and we have been for decades now, and we continue to show strength there. We've improved our units as placing positive MPV units into the market consistently. We turned that positive last quarter, and that's again off the back of, I think, the tremendous innovation that's happening across the organization. And we're excited by the new markets in which we're entering. The A3 marketplace is a $55 billion market that we have less than 4% market share. And with our own organic R&D investments, as well as the acquisition of Samsung's printing business, we are well primed now to be a significant player in that part of market. So that those days lie ahead of us. And then, you know, there's a brand new blue ocean for 3D printing, and we didn't get into 3D printing to participate in the $5 billion industry it is today. We got into it to disrupt a $12 trillion injection molding plastics business, and so we're very excited by delivering our first platforms there and the work that we're going to deliver in the future.
Thank you. That was our last question for today's Q&A session. Thank you for all participating today. For questions that we were unable to answer today, please check our investor relations website, accessible via hp.com/investor hp.com/home, where we will be posting copies of the questions we received along with our responses by the end of the week. And with that, I will hand it back to Kim.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you, Dion. We will be closing the polls shortly. Therefore, I would ask that you complete your electronic ballot on hp.onlineshareholdermeeting.com at this time. You must ensure you submit your electronic ballot in order for your votes to be counted. The Inspector of Election will not accept votes submitted after the closing of the polls. Please note that any votes by electronic ballot submitted today will be subject to final verification by the Inspector of Election. There being no further ballots, I hereby declare that it is approximately 2:37 Pacific time, and the polls are now closed for voting on the items of business. All electronic ballots and proxies are now in the custody of the Inspector of Election. Chip will now announce the preliminary results of the vote. Over to you, Chip.
Thanks, Kim. The results to be announced are based on the preliminary tally provided by our Inspector of Election. All votes are subject to final count certified by the inspector. Let's start with the votes cast for the election of directors.
Regarding Proposal 1, the election of directors, each director was elected with not fewer than 1,149,160,601 shares.
Based on the vote, I declare that all 12 director nominees have been elected to serve for the next year, to hold office until their successors are duly elected and qualified. Now I will ask Jan to announce the results of the vote on the ratification of Ernst & Young as HP's independent registered public accounting firm.
The independent registered public accounting firm Ernst & Young LLP was ratified with 1,423,014,387 shares.
Based on the vote, I declare that the appointment of Ernst & Young as HP's independent registered public accounting firm has been ratified. Now I will ask Jan to announce the results of the advisory vote on the executive compensation.
The proposal to approve on an advisory basis the company's executive compensation passed with 1,142,366,862 shares.
Thank you, Jan. Now I will ask you to announce the results of the advisory vote on the frequency of future advisory votes on HP's executive compensation.
The proposal to approve on an advisory basis the frequency of future advisory votes on HP's executive compensation passed with a timing of annual frequency with 1,088,015,875 shares.
Thank you, Jen. Based on the vote, I declare that the proposal has been approved. It is now 2:39 Pacific time, PM, and I declare that the business of today's meeting is concluded. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. We appreciate your interest and continued confidence in HP.